Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Check out tens of thousands of technical articles on our new knowledge hub on farmersjournal.ie.
Now, we were chatting to Sam McConkie earlier about this third wave and its impact across society. And we know how important it is, as we were saying, to protect frontline workers who are essential in these times and to get them vaccinated as soon as possible. It goes without saying that farming and food production, as Sam was saying, is also important in keeping the food chain fluid, as we've witnessed over the past 12 months. But if a farmer goes down with the virus, work on that farm must continue. And it's why the IFA president, Tim Cullinan, this week urged farmers to draw up a plan B if they're forced to isolate or become too sick to work, so that another person can take up the reins and know what is where and how the farm operates. Now, Pat Murphy is an all-year-round dairy farmer from County Galway, and he and his wife Anna and two of their three children, they tested positive last week. He told me more when we spoke by phone earlier.
We had been doing everything we thought was right. We had been not going out. We weren't people to go out anyways. We'd been trying to keep ourselves to ourselves, and we'd be one of these families that thought, look, what COVID happens to other people and wouldn't come to us because we were doing it right. Christmas morning, Anna woke up and she had a very deep chesty sort of a cough, and she was a little bit down with it. We passed no more remarks. We had our Christmas that we normally did, and we went to see the graves. The next couple of days, she was due back to work then the following Monday, which was a bank holiday. Felt a little bit down and felt that she didn't want to go into work because of it, the way she was feeling. Just rang the doctor, explained the symptoms that she had, and the doctor became a little bit concerned. Said, Anna, that sounds a little bit like COVID. I think you should have a test. So that was the test result that, I suppose, turned our new year upside down. And it was our Christmas week and our new year upside down, because what followed next, really, what struck me most was the self-isolating part of it. And Anna had to self-isolate then when she had the symptoms and before she got the positive result. And she was in her room and we had to bring the meals to the door, knock on the door and tell her they were there. It was almost like being in prison. That, I found, the self-isolating part, to see her at Christmas coming towards the new year, not being able to spend that time with us, not being able to physically see us, that's what I found was the toughest part of it, and certainly wouldn't like to see any other family going through. I tested on New Year's Eve and got the positive results the following day, and then my two other kids tested on New Year's Day and got positive results after that. Look, we were unlucky in one way, but very lucky in another way is that none of us had to go to hospital.
Yeah, and you, Pat, are able to continue farming. I find that interesting, because when we hear about people that have positive tests, we get the impression, you know, you got to self-isolate, you can't move out or anything like that. But you actually have been able to continue farming.
I have. I've been lucky enough that way. First of all, I suppose that I'm not sick, that I can get out and do it. It's the symptoms I have are nothing more than a head cold that you'd normally have this time of the year anyways. But farming by its very nature is a lonely job at the best of times, but look, you're not letting anyone onto the farm at the minute. It helps protect people around me and myself, that there wasn't an awful lot of interaction with people coming in from outside. If you do have to get the vet, I suppose get a neighbour that you know is healthy, and just let them work away with it and be able to take that step back, because you're actually protecting them as opposed to yourself, and you're actually helping the animals that's sick as well. So it's all a case of having a little bit of homework done and having your plan in place. Because as I said, I didn't expect this to happen, but it did happen. And what this brings to me is, like, if Anna hadn't been sick and she was still infected and I didn't feel sick and I wasn't restricting my movements, if I wouldn't have dreamt of getting a test only for Anna got sick, and I could have been infecting people. Like, the symptoms I had were, I had a sore back over before Christmas, but that was affecting me on and off November and December anyways, because I'm prone to back spasms this time of the year. I had a small little bit of a sore throat, had a bit of a cough. I didn't develop a runny nose until I had the positive test. If you have symptoms, I tell people, just ring your doctor. Tell them what way you're feeling and what you have, and be honest with them. They're the professionals. They'll know then whether you have it and whether you need to be tested or not. Okay, nobody likes the self-isolation, and we certainly didn't like it in this family, but it might just save people in the long run.
So the only people that you're actually in contact with are your wife, Anna, your children, Padraig and Aoife, who both also tested positive. But you've another daughter, Ciara, who tested negative, and she's the one actually paying the price.
Poor old Ciara is paying the price. She she's self-isolating up in her own room and she can't see us at all. Like, we have to have a conversation through the phone with her. She's actually feeling the most loneliest of all. We're lucky enough, we can sit around the kitchen table, we can have our meals together. But that's not the case with poor Alkira. We just see her going in the front door from the window, and she has a room upstairs, and she can use, we have an office here on the farm, a new office on the farm. That's her spot. We don't go near that. And she has heat up there, and she has Wi-Fi for the phone and the computer that she uses. At least she can have some form of life anyways, and she can make her meals up there and have her tea and whatnot. At least she's, as I said, she's warm. But not to be able to have that family interaction is tough on her.
The other irony, Pat, is that it's a very lonely business, farming, in a lot of cases where you're on your own all the time. But that's the advantage when you actually develop COVID, that you can actually continue working because you're not mixing with people anyway.
Exactly. It's one of the benefits in a situation like this. As I said, it can be a lonely enough job, but certainly when it started off first, back in March, every place had closed down, the marts had closed down, life as we knew it had closed down, and people did kind of, they were afraid of it. And I have an elderly uncle that is afraid of it and is keeping to himself and doesn't see anyone. And look at the daily chat that we'd have was something that he was always looking forward to. He doesn't have that now. I can't go near him because I can't store from here and I don't want to give him the disease. But using him as an example, yes, there is a loneliness out there. People of that generation, the evening marts in particular, they'd go to the canteen, they'd go for the social aspect of it. All that was taken off them this year. The people go to the matches and be talking about hurling or football. All that was gone this year. It's not the same watching it on television. You don't have the same interaction with your neighbours talking about it. Huge change has brought in it. People of a generation are slow enough to be able to adapt to that change. Different generations are different because, look what, I'm lucky enough, thank God, we have a family and young kids here. The comings and goings are there, and but the older generation don't. And I suppose as neighbours, we should keep that to our mind as well, like just to be there to that little bit of a more neighbourly and to have that neighbourly chat now and again. It might be no harm.
Yeah, good piece of advice there from Galway farmer Pat Murphy, who has COVID but can still actually farm. Now, the IFA has a ready-made Plan B sheet on their website, which you can print off and fill in the event that, unlike Pat, you cannot farm and need somebody to come in and run the farm for you. And we wish Pat and Anna and the family all the very best over the coming days. Well, Pat spoke there about isolation and how so many social outlets, which include the Mart, are closed, which impacts heavily, particularly on older farmers. Although January is a quiet time of the year for marts, there are still buyers and sellers active. And Ray Doyle of ICOS joins me now. Ray, you've been listening there to Pat, and I know you can certainly sympathise with him.
Yeah, it's a carbon copy of Pat's story, the story in this house too. The house is more or less locked down with COVID-19, and a very similar story of we're still scratching our heads how it came into the house.
And how are you feeling, and how's the family feeling?
Very like Pat. We're very fortunate. It's quite benign with us. My wife is probably the sickest of us, but still on the relative terms, she's not sick compared to how some people get it. So all in all, it's quite a benign situation for ourselves. One of the most uncomfortable things is actually the test itself, but that doesn't dismiss the disease and how virulent and how deadly it can be. But it's just how simple it gets into a house as well.
And Ray, how are you getting supplies?
Good neighbours. The good old farming community that we live in here, we've very good neighbours. And one of my daughter's best friends has been doing the shopping for us, but there's been plenty of offers to do shopping and drop it at the doors for us, so that's not a problem.
Right, well, the main reason we brought you on, we've only 90 seconds left, but it is, Ray, just a quick question, because a lot of farmers would want to know, what's the story with the marts? It is a very quiet time, there's not a lot of trade this time of the year, but what is the situation with marts? Are they open, or how are sales going?
I'd urge just farmers to contact the local mart manager. Some mart centres are closed this week and next week, and some might even consider closing the week after that, but it's depending on their own local situation. Some marts have decided to close because there is serious COVID outbreaks in their locality. Some have closed because of weather conditions, and some simply have closed because of trade simply not being a major issue. But we are an essential part of the food chain, as was alluded to earlier during the programme, and we're there to facilitate trade, and that's what we'll do through the online portals. Farmers will be, if they want to sell, contact the manager, drop their animals, return home. They can see their animals being sold online. Buyers, the same. They need to contact the managers. They will get a very short viewing time of the animals, but again, will have to purchase the animals online. And additionally, the only changes to the lockdown now, or sorry, the restrictions now in the marts now compared to 6 weeks ago when we were online as well, is we were asking people not to congregate and linger in the car parks. So we will have additional marked staff patrolling car parks just to ensure that social distancing is maintained at all times.
Okay, that's good advice there. So, as I said, it's not a major issue at this point in time, but maybe in 4 to 6 weeks' time, if we're still in the lockdown scenario, it'll be busier and we might get back to you then. Well, Ray, look after yourself and the family there. Sorry to hear about that, but sure, you're the same as so many people, unfortunately, around the country this morning. But thanks very much for chatting to us anyway. That's Ray Doyle there of the Irish Cooperative Society, which run an awful lot of the marts around the country.